or sentimental or overly emotional, but I have to just come right out and tell you, I love Grace Church. Grace Church being I love Grace Church, you, because you live the gospel message. Isaiah has no words of condemnation for Grace Church in terms of caring for widows and orphans. We do that. We care about and care for our neighbors. Last Sunday, I made a brief mention in the announcements that the food pantry was in need of food and money. Lots of money was given. Last summer, we made an appeal for Haiti, and funding was provided. In the spring, we decided to move forward in hiring a youth minister to bring up our youth in the church. Again, the financial and personal support flowed freely. Yesterday was the third Saturday of our beans and rice ministry. And within the first 20 minutes, 76 families were served. By the end of the morning, over 100 families were served through Grace Church. All received a blessing. All received a prayer, both those serving and those being served. It is amazing to be a part of the gospel at work in the world right here. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms." I'm not sure that any of us have actually sold our possessions in order to support those in need, but I am sure that when we live out the call to give, we are better for it. And we find ourselves living in the kingdom right here in Calhoun County. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And it is our good pleasure to share it with others. William Willimon, the United Methodist Bishop of Alabama, claims that we are created to be givers. He goes on to say, "What is the most significant, countercultural, revealing act of worship on Sunday? What act of worship typifies the wonder of the Christian faith? Is it the sermon when God's word is preached? I wish. Is it the Eucharist when we receive the mystery of Christ's body and blood? Or is it the reading of Scripture when we submit ourselves to God's word? I wonder, particularly in our culture, if it is the offering. There we take a stand. There we show where our values are. There we swear allegiance. There we put our beliefs into actions. The offering may be the act that makes all other acts of worship possible." He has a point. Our offering of ourselves, our time, our talents, and our resources is what makes all other acts of worship possible. So many people offer so much in order for worship on Sunday morning to happen in this place at this time. There are acolytes and those who train them, ushers, altar guild members, brass polishers, choir members, and leaders, and organists, a secretary who develops the bulletin, those who fold and collate it, people who put the hymn numbers up on the hymn boards, those who clean the buildings, those who make sure the temperature is right, though I would argue that for me it rarely is, and the lights are on. There are lectors and Eucharistic ministers and intercessors. And I worry if I've left someone out, because you can see there are so many people involved. And so often they work tirelessly and unfortunately thanklessly. Also required in this is the commitment to make sure that there is adequate funding so that we can have air conditioning in the summer and heat in the winter, that the lights are on and the water is running, and that we have paper to print out the bulletins and a copier to print them on. And while that last list sounds mundane and much less kingdom-like than helping those in the aftermath of a hurricane or earthquake, or providing food to those who otherwise might not eat, they really are no less important. We give because we have been given. And we come together in this beautiful place, this beautiful holy place, to worship God, who is the source of all our gifts. The message of the gospel today is, be ready. Don't wait. Be prepared. You never know when someone might break in. We do not know when Jesus will return. We don't want to be unprepared. Grace Church seems ready in so many ways. We are heeding the demand to care for the orphan and widow, for those who have no support of their own. And it would be easy to sit back and pat ourselves on the backs and leave here feeling quite good about our efforts. And we should feel quite good about our efforts. But to sit back feeling smug about all the good we are doing leaves us in a very bad place spiritually. We are laying the groundwork. We are meeting people's basic needs, providing food and funds. And that is a very good thing. We are blessed by doing so. The challenge for us is to move beyond that. To move beyond a place of providing physical needs to building relationships. Our community is divided. Our world is divided. There is mistrust and even fear between races and differing groups. We can make a difference. In our Beans and Rice ministry, relationships are beginning to be formed. There are those who are quickly becoming regulars, and we're getting to know a little bit about them. Nancy, for example, does not speak. Mildred, who says she cannot hear, translates Nancy's moves and motions so that she can communicate. They both have downcast eyes, but at the same time are quite animated. There are others as well who share bits and pieces of their stories and their lives. So often they offer a blessing. Have a blessed day. Or, God bless you. And God has blessed us. And we can bless God as well. Can we begin to see the folks who come to our food pantry or our rice and beans ministry as brothers and sisters? Truly brothers and sisters? How would that look? And how will we reach out to form real and lasting relationships that bind us into community? I don't pretend to have answers on that. In order to move to becoming community with those whose values are so often vastly different from ours is something that has been a struggle for generations and generations. Perhaps it's enough to provide food for people than send them on their way. It's certainly neater. The messiness of people's real life struggles remains at an arm's length when they rush in and rush out. What would happen if we really entered into the lives of others? If we took the gospel one step farther and got that messiness all over us? What if in doing so, we discovered that we have enough love to go around and enough courage to go to the places that we are afraid to go? I wouldn't pose this challenge if I didn't think we could meet it. That we can make an even bigger difference in our world. That we can live more fully into the kingdom and spread the kingdom even more widely throughout our area. Did I mention that I love Grace Church? We make a difference. And we can continue to make an even bigger difference. Do not be afraid. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom so that you can bring others in. Thanks be to God. Amen.